As I'm getting started, I just remind you that next week will be the last week that we're doing this series on baptism in water. And we will have a baptismal service next week at the end of our time together. So if you haven't been baptized, we really need to fix that. If you have been baptized but you feel that it was incorrectly done, we need to fix that. And then I know that just some of you are just going to want to be baptized again just because you can. So that's okay too. Just bring a towel and a change of clothes, or you can go home. We have had people just say, I want to get baptized. I'm going home wet, but I want to get baptized. So that's good. So if you see any of those things, so that's what we're going to be doing. Now we're talking about taking a couple of weeks and just looking at baptism in water. Now I'm saying it that way specifically because the Bible actually talks about several kinds of baptisms that we have. And so I'm going to attempt to clarify that a little bit to us today. Now last time what we did is we looked at definitions, the definition of baptism and baptized and all the derivatives thereof. And I want to do it again, but this time with a little different emphasis. Now, today's lesson is going to be a little slow to start with, just warning you. But I promise you it's going to get better, okay? So just hang with me and let me theologically exegete here for just a few minutes. And the word baptism is the Greek word baptisma. And the, did I say that correctly? The English word baptism is the Greek word baptisma. The English word baptized is the Greek word baptizo. Now, what I'm attempting to show you here is that those words are not translated words. Those words are transliterated words. And I'm going to try to help you understand this just some. When you translate a word, and let's just stick with text, and you're reading a word and to translate it, say it's Chinese, Japanese, and you can't read those letters. You don't know what all that stuff is. So a translation is taking that script and putting it into a word that means the same thing. You've heard of translators. Maybe you're listening to someone who you don't understand their language, and they need a translator so that you can understand what they're saying. That's translating. It's taking words that you're not familiar with in a foreign language or whatever, and translating them into words that you do know. Now that's translation. We all know how that works. Let me use a word this easily. How about gracious? What is that translated to in the English language? Thank you. All right, so that's translation. Now, transliterated is easy. It's simple. But it's just explaining it that's so hard. It's the same thing. You take the text of a word that you're not familiar with, Chinese, Japanese, whatever, something like that, and the text, the letters, you don't know what they mean. So what you do in transliteration is you try to use the same words, the same letters, but just take the word and make it into some letters that you understand. And this is what happens with baptism, baptized, baptizing, all those derivatives. They're transliterated. In other words, there is what the word is saying to us. The word itself is not what the word means. It's not translated into another word. That's not the meaning of baptize or baptism. Both of those words are transliterated. Now, let's look at that and see if I can help you just a little bit and then tell you what my point is in doing all of this. Okay, our word baptism is transliterated, or the Greek word baptisma. So it's a transliterated word, baptism. That's the translator. Here is the translation. Here is what the word actually means. It's immersion or submersion. That's what the word means. Now, my point in going through all of this is to make sure that you understand that the word in and of itself does not mean water. What does the word mean? Put it back up there, please. Put the definition, please, back up for me. There you go, so I can see it. All right, so what does it mean? What does baptism mean? Immersion or submersion. Does it mean water? And a lot of times when we're thinking of baptism, we're thinking water. All right, so, and also in baptized, baptizo, what it means, the translation of the word, would actually be immersed or submerged. Still not meaning necessarily water, unless you're being baptized into water. Now this is important because I just want you to hang with me on this thought because I need to do this to get to where I really want to go. So what they did when they transferred the Greek language or in the Hebrew and all that into English is they made up words or they created a word, baptism, baptized, baptizing, baptizer. Those are not our English words. Those are words that have been transliterated. And what they all mean every single time is immersion. And if every time that you read baptism in the Bible, if you were to change that word to the word of immersion, you're going to understand what it's saying far better. Now, what I'm wanting you to say, it would have been a whole lot better had they translated the word rather than transliterated it. Then there wouldn't be confusion as to how to be baptized when we are baptized correctly. There wouldn't be confusion as to what it means and what it is attempting to teach us and show us and tell us. So this is why I'm going through all of this. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of baptisms that the Scriptures speak about. And I'm going to show you four or five. And then at the end is where I'm really going. I want to show you the main one that I'm wanting you to see. So in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 3 and in verse 11, it says, this I is John the Baptist or John the Immerser. That would be because what he did was immerse people. I baptize, I immerse, and every time I'm going to use it today, I'm going to attempt to put immerse there so we'll make sure we understand what the word is meaning. I baptize or I immerse you with water. I use water. That's what I'm going to put you in for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry, speaking here about Jesus. He will baptize, he will immerse you with the Holy Spirit. Not water, but with what? The Holy Spirit. He's going to put you down into the Holy Spirit, totally immerse you, and with fire. He's going to also immerse you in fire. So what he's saying here, in this particular section, we have three different kinds of baptism. But what the baptism that Jesus brings is one that he's going to immerse you. If you are a believer, then you should have been immersed into the Spirit of God, into the Holy Spirit. If you're not a believer, you will be immersed in fire. You will be immersed into the judgment of God. This is what the judgment Jesus brings. He's going to bring a judgment upon. It's a baptism of God's wrath and God's fire if you reject Jesus and if you're not a believer of Jesus. But if you are a believer of Jesus, then you can be immersed in the Spirit. But the fire baptism and the Holy Spirit baptism have nothing to do with water. And this is what I'm wanting you to see. You can be immersed into anything. The word in and of itself means immersion, being put into. Jesus says this at his ascension. He's talking to the guys. He says, I want you to go back to Jerusalem. I want you to hang out. And you're going to receive a baptism. In Acts 1:5, it says this, for John baptized, John immersed you with water. So he's given the comparison here. But in a few days, actually it would be 10, we're going to talk about it later. But in a few days, you will be baptized, you will be immersed with the Holy Spirit. So you're going to go back and the Holy Spirit is going to immerse you. You're going to be immersed. So what we've got so far is three types of baptism. We have water baptism, we have spirit baptism, and we have fire baptism. Now here's another one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, it says this. For we were all, how many? All baptized, all immersed by one Spirit into one body. Now this baptism, this immersion is into a body of Christ. And he goes on, whether Jews or Greeks or slave or free. You lose your gender specifics. You lose your ethnic specifics. You lose your identity when you come into the body of Christ. And this is what he said, because you're baptized into the body of Christ. Now, this is why I have problems with people who say they don't need the church, but yet they think they're saved. Because a work of the Spirit of God in an individual's life, and that's what it says there. Is it back there? Yeah. What it says is... for we were all baptized by one Spirit. So the work of the Spirit is to put you in a body. It baptized you into a body, immerse you into a body. So when people tell me they don't need the body of Christ, I wonder what the Spirit's doing. Do they have the Spirit? So that's another kind. So that's four kinds of baptisms that we've talked about. And here's one more that we'll look at now. In 1 Corinthians 10:2, it says this, "For they all baptized," they were all baptized, and what it's talking about here is the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. "They were all baptized," all immersed, "into Moses." Baptized into a person, baptized into a name. "They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, of course, this is the old covenant. They were baptized into the old covenant, which was led by Moses. Now, we're not in that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that at a later time today. But the point is that baptism and water is not synonymous. And just because you read baptism in the Bible doesn't mean it's talking about water specific. But when you are talking about water specific, water baptism, being baptized in water, you're talking about immersion. You're talking about totally going down. And the reason that it has to be this way is so that it can teach us and show us and tell us and emphasize to us, and we can experience what it's wanting to say. See, when we say baptism in water, we're talking about being immersed in water. There's no way that you can be baptized with sprinkling. You can't be baptized with water poured on you. There are different Greek words for sprinkle, and I have them here for you. There's different Greek words for poured, and they sound nothing like baptism. What we're talking about when we're talking about water baptism is a total immersion. There's no such thing in the Bible of a sprinkling baptism, water baptism, or a sprinkling or a pouring water baptism. That's totally contrary to what the word means in and of itself. What the word means, okay, we can turn the air back on now, I think. I see people fanning. I asked them to turn it down because I thought you guys get cold. So turn it back on, please. So there's no such thing. See, water cannot be baptized on someone. You can't put water on someone to baptize them. The person has to be put into water. You don't place water on someone to baptize them. You have to be placed into water to be baptized. Now, why in the world is he making such an element of this? It's simply because this is how we understand it. This is what it means. This is what it shows. And this is my intention today, is to relay to you what water baptism really is and what it depicts and what it shows to each and every single one of us. So, what I want to do is go through this quickly, just look at some scriptures really fast to show you how this rolls out into the scriptures. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "Confessing their sins, they were baptized," they were immersed by him, this is John the Baptist, "in the Jordan River." Now, if you're only going to sprinkle somebody, you don't need a river. If you're only going to pour water on somebody, you don't need a river. Right? So they needed a river. They needed a river so that they could baptize, immerse people. In Jesus' baptism, Matthew 3:16, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he was immersed, he went up out of. As soon as he was down, he went up out of the water. If they were going to sprinkle him, or if he was just poured water on him or whatever, they didn't need to come up out of the water. So they're placed in water. John 3:23 here. It says, "Now John also was baptizing," immersing. John was immersing at Aenon near Salem, Salem, because there was plenty of water. Now, at this time of the year, evidently, the river was low, and they needed to find a place where the water was deep enough so that they could baptize people. Plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to him to be immersed, to be baptized. And so John needed plenty of deep water. And then in Acts 8:38, this is Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. He says, "And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him." So immersion is the only water baptism that the Bible knows anything about. It is the only kind of baptism that you will find in the New Testament. There is no sprinkling baptism. There is no pouring baptism. That's totally contradictory to what the word in and of itself means. You have to be immersed to experience biblical water baptism. Now, I'm making an issue of this, and there's a reason. So let me see if we can get to it. So as we saw last time, when we talked about this. We saw that baptism is an object lesson. It's an amazing depiction. It's a picture. It's a profound spiritual truth as to what happens to you in your salvation. It's profound. It shows us in the supernatural dimension what has happened to your life, to you yourself. To change the mode of immersion, immersion in water, to being sprinkled or water poured on you, totally changes the symbolisms and confounds and confuses what water baptism is to give you an experience of. Now, what it is to show you, give you a profound understanding about is your salvation. Now, I want to work on this. Now, last time we looked at Romans chapter 6, and we started with verse 3, and we went through verse 11. I'm not going to read that much this time, but I want to read a couple of verses just to catch us up and get us back on the same page. And then I want to take that thought and amplify it and show you something, and then move into what I really want to talk about. So, in Romans chapter 6, in verse 3 through 5, it says this. Or don't you know? Now, we should know this. But so Paul says, but don't you know? Or don't you know that all of us were baptized or were immersed into Christ Jesus? Into what were we baptized into? Christ Jesus. When we were baptized into Christ Jesus. We were immersed into his death. Now, see, what baptism is about is not your death specific. It is, but it's your death with him. When you were baptized, I don't know if you knew this or not. You've been told about baptism, but have you ever told that what baptism is you're dying with him? See, what baptism is you're baptized, you're immersed into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism. Not only did you die with him, you were behind the stone with him. You were on the cross with him. You were behind the stone with him. This is what baptism is. You got to go in the water to get this experience. So you were immersed into that. You were immersed into his death. You were immersed into his burial through baptism and immersion into death. In order that, here's why you died with him, and here's why you were buried with him. Because just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This doesn't come by sprinkling. This doesn't come by pouring some water on your head. This comes from immersion. And I said it last week, I'll say it again this week. Your life should change when you're water baptized. Correctly, biblically water baptized. Your life should go higher. You have a new life. You have a higher life. If we have been united, and everybody say united, because that's what baptism does. If just say on the count of three. One, two, three. United. One more time. One, two, three. United. Because this is what baptism does. It unites you with Christ. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, what we saw and what I showed you last time is that this is a spiritual depiction of what happens to you when you're water baptized. When you walk into the waters of baptism, you are walking down the Via Dolorosa. You're being arrested with Christ. You're going through the trials with him. You're being scourged. You're being nailed to the cross. You're dying with him on the cross. And that's the only time you'll die. And that's the emphasis that I want you to see. It's not specifically only about your death. It's about your dying in him. Now, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, though you die, you'll never die. See, there is never a millisecond, never a moment, never a blink of an eye. But when you die, you don't have to wait a million years to for him to come again. You don't lay in a grave. Your body dies, but you don't. You immediately. That's the only time you'll die is there. Okay. We were therefore buried with him. You're put behind the stone with him as well. Through baptism. Through what? Through baptism. This is, sprinkling doesn't work. Pouring some water on your head doesn't work. You got to go down. In order that, okay, where am I? I'm already there. Okay, I'm just talking about that. I already read the scripture. Okay, so that you were buried with him, so that you could be raised with him. Right? You have a resurrection coming. and not only raised with him, but resurrected with him. And then this is the profound teaching of water baptism, or partially of it. It's the opening thoughts of it that I want you to see. It is an object lesson. It is a distinct picture of it. It is a profound truth of your salvation. When you were saved, this is what happened to you. Now, I want to accelerate it and move it into an area that I really want to talk to you about, if I can do it, if I can communicate the thought to you. I want to go back and read Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 again, and this time point something out. Okay, Romans 6, 3. Or don't you know that all of us, how many? All of us who were properly baptized, properly immersed into Jesus Christ were baptized, are immersed into his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what it goes on to say. But what I want to emphasize here is you are immersed into who? Into Christ Jesus. Listen, hear me what I'm saying. Not water. Do you see why sprinkling doesn't work? Pouring a little water on your head doesn't work. And why it should be immersed. We should think about baptism as being immersed. See, if I can show us, you, when you go into that pool of a baptism of water, when you went into it, and you went down, you died in him, you're buried in him, you rose in him, and you're resurrected in him. Here's what I want you to hear me say: you were put into him. That is when you became a part of the body of Christ. That's when you were put into Jesus Christ. It is an amazing picture, a profound truth of your salvation. And this is why I've been hitting it, emphasizing the immersion aspects of it. Only in water baptism is this displayed. Only in water baptism is this enacted. Only in water baptism. It becomes a object lesson symbolism. Now, the water's really not Jesus. We all know that, right? We got that. I don't have to, I'm not translating, I'm not, you know. What I'm talking about is, this is what it's about. This is what it's for, is to re-show, reenact, redo how you were put into Christ. Now, with that, you know, with that said, let's look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. It says, for all of you who were baptized, immersed into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. You've done what? You put on Christ. You've clothed yourself with Christ. He clothed you with himself. Exactly as in the water of baptism, you go in and there should not be a dry thread on you. Your whole being should be wet. Everything about you is wet because it's showing his clothing of you, that you are put into him. He wraps himself around you. He holds you. He loves you. He takes you into himself. When we tell our children about baptism, when they say, Mommy, Daddy, what does it mean to be baptized? It's when you are put into Jesus. And when Jesus loves you, when Jesus holds you, when you become his, when he clothes himself around you, where everywhere you go, he goes. Where everything you do, he does. It's Jesus taking you and receiving you. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again this week. Your salvation is not you adding Jesus to your life. Your salvation is Jesus adding you to himself through his death, his burial, his raising, and his resurrection. You don't add Jesus. He adds you. And it's all displayed in the waters of baptism. Baptismal immersion waters. Now, have we got that? Do we have that thought? Have you got that you are put into him, you are immersed into him, that you become clothed with him? Have we got what this is supposed to show us, that we are put into him? We are united with him? Have we got that? Yeah, but we're not stupid. You know, we got it. We got it. Why in the world do you keep hammering this? Because here's where I want to go. Because now I can really deal with, since you understand that, now I can really deal with a very controversial, frustrating, sometimes, deal here that I need to talk to you about. Okay. Now, in the book of Acts, on Pentecost Day, Jesus had told them, go back, wait, and you're going to be baptized, immersed into the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. It was 10 days, actually. So they were in the upper room, and they heard the wind blowing, and it was the Holy Ghost coming as mighty rushing wind. And he turned into cloven tongues, and cloven tongues sat down on all of them, about 120. And it filled them with the Holy Ghost. They were baptized. They were immersed in the Holy Spirit. And they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And then they went out onto the streets of Jerusalem, and all of them began preaching the kingdom of God and the inspiration, by the inspiration and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. So Peter's out there, and he's preaching away, and he says, hey, you guys of Jerusalem and Judea, you gather around me. I want to talk to you guys. So they got around him, and he began to preach to them Jesus and the kingdom of God. He was tucked, and it was an amazing message. He was a very, very formed and outlined. Anyway, it was a great message that he preached to them. And he convicted them, and he comes to the conclusion of his sermon. The people say to him, well, then what shall we do? What shall we do? Because he's told them, you crucified him, you killed him, and you rejected the Christ. And, well, what shall we do now? Here's what he said. Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, immersed. How many? Every one of you. Every one of you should be immersed. Immersed, every one of you, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why doesn't it say the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Isn't that what Jesus told them? To baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right, let me work. Now you see where I'm. You have to understand that you got to be put into Him to understand this. So, in the name of Jesus Christ, baptize him and immerse him in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of the sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, he first of all says, every one of you need to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, what this is the seed of water baptism. This is the first water baptism that we read about. And it was done this way. And every baptism, and here's what I want you to see, because we're going to look at all that we can. Every baptism that follows it, follows this protocol. Every baptism that you'll read about and study about in the Scripture, it's always baptized in the name of Jesus. Never, not one time, bar none, ever, is anyone ever baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Now, what's going on here? What's going on? It's the seed. It's the beginning. It's the first baptism. And every other baptism follows that. And what we read in verse 41 here is that about 3,000 people were immersed into the name of Jesus Christ. They were put into Jesus that day. And it becomes a prototype. They were put into Him through the baptism of water. All right. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, what's happening here is Philip has gone up to Samaria. There's persecution. He's gone up. And it says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, they were immersed, both men and women. So male and female are united in the New Testament. Acts 8:16, the same context, just a few verses down, says this. Now, let me set up what happened. So he was baptizing all these people, but they weren't receiving the Holy Spirit with tongues. And so they send John and Peter up there to check it out and find out what was happening. And so this kind of explains why John and Peter went up there. in verse 16, it says this, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. That's why they went. They had simply been baptized, immersed into the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, not the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They were immersed and put into Jesus. And this follows true in case every single time you find baptism in the Scriptures. Let's look at another one. In Acts chapter 10, let me set it up. Cornelius is a Gentile. So far, the Spirit of God has only come on the Jews and on the Samaritans, but not yet on the other Gentiles. And Samaritans were a mixed breed of Gentiles and Jews, but not yet totally to the Gentiles. So Cornelius is a Gentile, a great man, good man. So he's praying, seeking God. So God sends him Peter. So Peter comes down and he preaches to them Jesus the Christ. While he's preaching to them, the Holy Spirit falls on them and they all begin to talk in tongues. And then this is what Peter says in Acts 10:47. Can anyone keep these people from being baptized, being immersed with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he what? He did what? He ordered that they, now let me point this out before we finish reading it. He ordered that they be baptized, of course, but they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch. So he ordered that they be baptized, immersed, in the name of Jesus Christ. Not only did he order them to be baptized, but ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What's going on? And every single time we study it, this is not in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but in the name of Jesus Christ. Because see, what they're doing is they're putting them into Christ, putting them into Christ Jesus. That's what is supposed to have happened to you. This is proper biblical water baptism, or baptism in water. In chapter 19. Now, let me set this up. What's happening here is Paul the apostle is going to Ephesus. He crosses path with 12 believers who have been under Apollos, and they have been incorrectly baptized. He asked them, then in what baptism were you baptized? And they said, in John's baptism, John the Baptist's baptism. Paul says, No, that's wrong. That's wrong baptism. John baptized into repentance. Jesus baptizes into resurrection. And he says, we got to get this straightened out. So he fixed their incorrect water baptism. Let me read. On hearing this, verse 5 and 6, they were baptized, immersed, into the name of the Lord Jesus. And every single time you find a baptism in the Scriptures, it's into the name of Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Jesus' name is always in there. Every single time. Not in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, but they're put into Jesus. Every single one, bar none. None excluded. Never is anyone baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Isn't it interesting? See, but now you understand just a little bit, because you understand you've got to be put into Him. So let's take now a look at Matthew chapter 28, where it talks about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. This is called the Great Commission. This is what we call it. It says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, how much? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Given to whom? But who is me? What's his name? Jesus Christ. So he's got now all authority in heaven and earth. This becomes important in understanding this. He says, therefore, because I've got all the authority, me, Jesus, I'm not Jesus, but he said, You know what he taught. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, or all ethnics is what the word is. And every nation has a lot of ethnics. And so, but everybody is what he's talking about. Now, here it is. Baptizing, immersing them in the what? Plural or singular? Names or name? Name. Not three names, or names is plural, but name, one name. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read that just right, you don't read in three names. You read that there's one name that they're going to use. There's one name that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is going to use. They're going to use the one name. So the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to finish reading it and then we'll talk about it. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, why did they baptize in the name of Jesus when Jesus specifically said the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? And every single time, this is what they did. Why? What's going on? Were they just rebellious? Just going to do it their way? Or did they understand something that we have yet to quite grasp and understand? I think they understood a lot of things we didn't understand. And one thing they understood is it was the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. They understood the authority in the name. Jesus began this whole thing by saying, I've got all the authority. Me. I've got all the authority. I'm the dude. I'm it. I'm it. And you can read in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, in Philippians chapter 2, it says that every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus. Let me say it right. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess what? That he is Lord. At the name of Jesus, everything. The name above every name. And in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have healed this crippled guy. And now he's running and leaping and praising, so they get an opportunity to preach to him. And he says, there is no name under heaven by which men must be saved other than the name of Jesus. That's it. They understood the name. Now, they understood the name, but another thing that they understood was the deity. They understood the Trinity. We don't quite get that, but they got it. See, let me read this to you in Colossians 2:9. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now, what does that mean? In Christ is the Father, and is the Son, and is the Holy Spirit. It's three in one. Not one in three, it's three in one. Let me read it to you from the King James Version. It may be a little more familiar with you there. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All three are in him. So if I am baptized, put into him, then I am being baptized, or I have been baptized into all three, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They understood the name. They understood the deity. Another thing that they understood was the way. See, you can't get to the Father and you can't get to the Spirit without going through Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here's where it says it in John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one, how many? Forget it. No one comes to the Father except through me. You will never have a relationship with God unless you go through Jesus. Also the same with the Spirit. You will never have an interaction with the Holy Spirit unless you go through. Now, you can have interaction with demons, but you won't have interaction in relationship with the Spirit of God unless you go through Jesus. John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, Jesus says, whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. You will not receive the Spirit of God without Jesus. So when you're baptized, when you're put into, when you're immersed into Jesus, the name of Jesus, put into him, when he clothes you, you are having a relationship. You have the ability now to have a relationship with Father God. You have an ability to have a relationship with the Spirit of God. And of course with the Son. So they understood those things. And there's one other thing that they understood that we are not really that good on an understanding is covenant. They understood the covenant. Remember when I read earlier to you that the children of Israel were baptized, and we're going to read it again, were baptized into Moses, into a person, into a name. That was the old covenant. Let me read it to you one more time, 1 Corinthians 10:2. They were all baptized or immersed into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now, the children of Israel were immersed and baptized into Moses. That's not what you or I are baptized into. We are baptized into the covenant of Jesus Christ, in his name, by his blood. He said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the new testament. He says, this is me. This is, it's in his blood and it's in his name. The covenant that you are in, that I am in, is far superior to one they had. So when you are baptized into Jesus, you are baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's unavoidable. It's the Trinity, three in one. So we're not cutting out that. We're not cutting out what Jesus said. We're just clarifying it. And this is what every single baptism was in. So when I baptize someone, I'm privy. I realize they don't know all this. And what they have been told and what they do know is that I'm supposed to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if I want to say, what I want to say is, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. That's all I want to say. But I understand that they don't get it. They don't know all that I've just told you. And they don't understand. And if I were to say something, just say that, what they would hear me say is that I'm Jesus only, that I don't believe in the Father and the Spirit, that Jesus is all three, you know, in the name of Jesus. And I'm not Jesus only. I am Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm Trinitarian. But if I just to say that, people that were being baptized or people that were overhearing what I said would not get it. So in a way to try to give a correct biblical baptism, to baptize somebody biblically, New Testament baptism, here's what I say. I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the name Jesus Christ. And then I feel like I have covered the bases. I've taken care of them, made it palatable for them, but at the same time I've given them a correct New Testament water baptism in water. So what about you? What about you? How are you when it comes to immersion? Were you sprinkled? Were you poured? Or were you immersed? Correct biblical baptism is only immersion. There is no other baptism that the Bible knows about. What about that? Were you baptized into his death? Did you know that when you were baptized, you were being baptized not to your death only, but you were baptized into his death? Did you understand that? That you were baptized into his death? You were baptized into his burial? But you were raised with him to a new life, just as he was raised. And then you're resurrected with him. How about that? Did you understand that when you were water baptized? You should. You should. And what about being baptized or immersed into the name of Jesus? What about that? Do you understand that? That you're put into him? That you are clothed with him? That it's this that typifies symbolically? It's an amazing picture and image of what happens to us in our salvation. And it's something that every one of us should experience. Peter ordered them to be baptized, immersed into the name of Jesus Christ. Every single one of us need to be water baptized. There's something about it that absolutely changes your relationship, especially when you know what's happening. And let me tell you now what happens. See, when you die with him, and you're buried with him, and you're raised with him, and then your resurrection, you experience his resurrection. Do you know where that now puts you? In the spiritual dimension. Do you know where you are now? I know you think you're sitting right here in these chairs. But you know where you're sitting? You're sitting in the heavenly places because he has caught you up and made you to sit together with him in the heavenly places where you can rule and reign your life. You rule and reign your life because you are caught up through the works of baptism into the heavenly dimension. You're a heavenly creature through the works and the work of baptism. You see, you're not saved by adding Jesus to your life. You're saved. Your salvation comes because he added you to his. And he clothed you with himself and set you in heaven. Now that's biblical New Testament baptism in water. Let's pray. Let's first give the Lord a shout and hand clap. Yeah. All right, let's pray.